If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Matthew. I would like to read from Matthew chapter 6. I encourage you to get a Bible. There are plenty of Bibles on the pews if you don't have your own Bible. But please turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I want to begin reading with verse 5 and read through verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. Brother Travis mentioned in his prayer that, first of all, he was thankful for our Heavenly Father. Brethren, all of us here, whether you had a good natural father or not, all of us here as children of God, we have a perfect Heavenly Father. And we need to thank God for that today. Even if your natural father is already home with the Lord, you need to thank God that you will always have this perfect Heavenly Father. David makes this statement in one of the Psalms, Psalm 27, I think. He says that when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will lift me up. And so God is our Heavenly Father, even when my natural daddy died. He was a very godly father, a very godly man. But when he died, the Lord, my Heavenly Father, was there to lift me up and to comfort me and to bless me and to guide me and to help me in all the ways that my natural daddy had done. My Heavenly Father now does that. We thank God, as Brother Travis mentioned in his prayer, we thank God for our natural fathers, but all of us understand that our natural fathers are a gift from our Heavenly Father. So on this Father's Day, when there are those that cannot be in the house of God because they're too busy honoring their natural fathers, I'm thankful that many of you are in the house of God to honor your Heavenly Father, and some of you are here giving thanks to God for your natural father, but you should never let your natural father come between you and your Heavenly Father. So the Heavenly Father is the one that first I want us to think about, then we'll look at natural fathers that are godly fathers, because I believe that as we look at our Heavenly Father and we look at the characteristics and the things that our Heavenly Father does for us, I believe that natural fathers will do the same thing. If they're godly fathers, natural fathers will be much like our Heavenly Father in the way that they treat their children. But we'll first begin reading now in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. The Word of God says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to..." What are the next two words there? "Pray to thy Father." You know, most of the people in the Old Testament, they didn't call God Father. And I think that we don't realize what a blessed privilege it is that Jesus instructs us and tells us and teaches us that when we do pray, we're not just praying to the sovereign God of heaven and earth. He is that. He is the God of gods. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is our God. He's the God that created the heavens and the earth. But what a privilege it is not just to call Him our God, but to say our Father. So He says here, Jesus specifically instructs us and says that when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. What's He basically saying there? He's saying that when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are. They're out trying to sound a trumpet and be seen for their prayers. That when you pray, you pray words that come from your heart. You pray, you enter into your closet. And I don't think that literally means that you have to enter into some literal closet. But I do believe that you enter into the closet of your heart and your mind and you shut out everything else. And you concentrate on communicating with God when you pray. Now you can literally go into a private place and pray, and you can do that also. But I believe that the Word of God makes it plain that public prayers are right and good. There are many times in the Word of God where the people of God would come together and they would pray together publicly. So God is not restricting our prayer life to having to be in some closed up door closet. But He is saying that when you pray, you better not be praying to be heard of men. You better be praying in a closet, closed up, separated from the world. Verse 7 says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for," what are the next two words there? Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? That our Heavenly Father knows what we need before we ever ask Him. And yet, God says that men ought always to pray. I don't acquaint God with anything by me going to Him in prayer. I don't let Him know what my problems are. He knows what my problems are, but it honors my Heavenly Father to go to Him and give thanks to Him in prayer, and it honors my Heavenly Father to go to Him and acknowledge, "I need Your help, Lord." So He says, go to your Father. He says in verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him." Now verse 9, and this is something that all of you are familiar with, and I want to read this example prayer and then go back to four particular characteristics of God, four things that God, our Heavenly Father, does for us, and yet God, our Father, says, you need to ask your Father for these things. Verse 9 says, "And after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father." In fact, I want to ask all of you to say these words, read these words with me. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now Jesus says, this is the way you ought to pray. Jesus says, this is the example prayer. And brethren, I want to encourage every one of you. I think one of the greatest blessings that we had in school when I was growing up is that every single day we stood up, we joined together, and we prayed what we call the Lord's Prayer. And I would encourage your families to pray this example prayer that Jesus gave. And to think about the words as you pray them. But there are four particular things in this prayer that I want us to look at that God has burdened my heart with. There are four particular things that God says that we're to ask our Father for. He says in first go back and look at verse 11. He says that we're to ask our Father, we're to say to our Father, give us this day what? Give us this day our daily bread. That's the first thing. Now let me ask you this question. Does God give us our daily bread? You might say, well, you get out and work for it. Let me tell you, you can work all you want to. If God doesn't bless your labors, you will not get to eat as a result of your labors. I want all of us to understand that the Bible says, that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from God. Is that correct? Is that what the Scripture specifically says? Say it again, Brother Jerry. Says, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Where do we get all of our food? Where do we get all of our blessings from? All of our blessings come from God, and yet God specifically tells us that we're to go to God and say, give us this day our daily bread. I very, very, very seldom have, from my heart, earnestly prayed, give us this day our daily bread. I think that it's very hard for people who have so much food, I think it's difficult for us to, really from our hearts, I don't think we know how thankful to be for the food that we have. I think that there are people in third world countries that when they pray these words, and there are children of God in those third world countries that are hungry, and when they get up, that's the prayer of their heart, and when they go to bed, that's the prayer of their heart. Give us! Give me! Give my children! That's more important than you having food yourself. There are many parents that are very hungry today because they have given the food to their children instead of them eating it themselves. Let me tell you, brethren, as the people of God, we need to be praying. Though we have so much food today, God can take it all away from us, and we need to be praying. Give us this day our daily bread. How would you like to have a child that was crying and screaming because of hunger, that needed food and wanted food, but you couldn't provide that food? That would be a horrible condition to be in. So we need to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We need to pray for our Heavenly Father to provide the necessities of life. And Jesus tells us later on in this chapter, don't worry about the food, clothing, and shelter that you need. Your Father knows you need those things. And He says you need to ask Him for those things. But He says you need to seek first what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, will our Heavenly Father give us this day our daily bread? So the first thing I want you to remember is that we need to remember that God has unlimited sources, resources, and He can give us everything we need. Everything we need. This is business of asking for things that are nothing but the lust of the flesh and greed and things like that. That's not what God's promised He'll give us. But He'll give us the good things. I'll speak more about that in a few minutes, Lord willing. What's the second thing God says we need to pray for? Not only give us this day our daily bread, what's the second thing He says? Forgive us. You notice verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now I know and understand, brethren, that in an eternal sense, God forgave us at Calvary. But I also know that the Word of God teaches that in order for us to experience and feel the forgiveness of sins, that we have to ask God to forgive us of our sins. The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if this is a conditional forgiveness. The Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, I need to feel the forgiveness of sins. Even though I know because of what God's Word says, and because the eye of faith looking back, I know Jesus paid it all at Calvary. I know Jesus died for my sins. I know my Father forgave me of my sins eternally at the cross of Calvary. Even so, I find in my life that when I walk contrary to the Word of God, I lose fellowship with God. Sin in my life causes me to not feel God's presence. Did you know that happens to God's children? You know what you need then? What do you need? You need forgiveness. That's right. You need forgiveness. And you need to get on your knees. You need to bow before God. You need to go into your closet and you need to say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me of my debts as I forgive others of their debts. Forgive me of my trespasses even as I forgive others of their trespasses. I'll tell you, brethren, I've never prayed that part of this prayer that it didn't cause me to examine people that I hold grudges against. Everybody follow that? If you hold grudges against people, I want you to know. In fact, after this prayer is over, the one thing he goes back to is this one statement. He says, if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do forgive men of their trespasses, your Father will forgive you of your trespasses. It's a conditional forgiveness. It has to do with our fellowship with God while we live in this world. Do I need to ask God to forgive me of my sins? Do I need to say what He said here? Forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. It'll cause you to start forgiving others. Did you know that? It'll cause you to ask God, help me, Lord, to forgive others. Because if you know that God's going to forgive you as you forgive others, it's going to make you get on your knees and say, God, help me forgive others. What's the next thing he says? What's the first thing he says we need to ask for? Give us, right? Give us. Give us. That's the first thing. Second thing is what? Forgive us. What's the third thing? Look at the next verse, verse 13. And lead us. Lead us. Brethren, are you glad God leads you? I believe with all of my heart God leads His people. The Word of God talks about how David in the 23rd Psalm, David was praying to God, or David talks about God, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know what a shepherd does for the sheep? He leads the sheep. He says in that Psalm, he says, He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Did you know you have never walked in paths of righteousness except your Father was leading you in paths of righteousness. Jesus has led you. The only reason you're in the house of God this morning, if you love God, the only reason you're in the house of God is because God led you. And you need to be praying every day, lead us, lead me, guide me. The songwriter says, guide me, O Thou great Jehovah. And we need to pray every day, God, give me what I need. And the second thing we need to pray is, God, now what am I saying? What's the wording I'm using that I want you to get away from? Say it again. Yes. Yes, God. Change it to Father. Father! Do you see the difference in the feeling that you have when you say Father and when you say God? What did Jesus say when you pray? You're to say, Our Father. Father. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Father, forgive me my debts as I forgive those that trespassed against me. Father, lead me. Lead me in paths of righteousness. Father, lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil. That's the fourth thing. Not only lead me, but what's the last thing he says here? Deliver me. Deliver. Deliver. Deliver us from evil. Now I want us to look back at those four things. What's the first thing? What's the first thing we're asked God for? Give us. Give us. Second thing is what? Forgive us. What's the third thing? Lead us. And what's the fourth thing? Deliver us. Those are the four things that we need to ask our Father in heaven to do. For Father to give us and forgive us and to lead us and deliver us. Now, I want to change all of that and say not only do you need to be asking your Heavenly Father to do those things for you, but I'm telling every father here, you have a responsibility as a child of God if you're going to be a godly father and if you're going to be a godly grandfather. I'm talking to all of the young men here, the young teenagers that are here, talking to you, and I'm telling you, if you're ever going to be a godly father as your children, as God blesses you with children, you must do these four things for your children that your Heavenly Father is doing for you. Everybody follow that? And what I want us to do now and see from the Word of God, I want you to see that God tells His people, He tells men, He tells us. And I want to tell you, I thank God that I had a godly father. I can tell you, my father gave me the things I needed. My father forgave me when I did things that were wrong. He whipped me, but he did forgive me, and we'll get to that. My father forgave me. My father led me. He didn't just lead me by the words of His mouth. He showed me. He led me. And my Father delivered me. And I want us to think about today, if you had a godly father, you need to thank God that He does those four things, your Heavenly Father. But you also need to thank God that you had a natural father. And in all of us this morning, all of us men, I want you to pray that God will help us to be more like our Heavenly Father. As a father, as men, we need to be more like our Heavenly Father every day. And specifically this morning, God's burdened my heart that every father here needs to be these four things. You need to do these four things to your children. First one is give. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. I'm just going to, for the sake of time, I'm just going to have to mention these scriptures. But in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, the Word of God says that every man ought to provide for his own household. And it says, any man that does not provide for his own household, that man has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Do you hear what I'm saying? Any man in this congregation, if you're not providing for your own household, if you're not providing the food, clothing, and shelter that your family needs, you have denied the faith and you're worse than an infidel. A lazy man or any man that is not providing for his family. What's the first thing we're talking about? We're using a four-letter word. What's the four-letter word from the prayer? Father, do what? Father, what? Give. Does a natural father, that's a godly father, does he give to his children? Does he provide the food, clothing, and shelter that his children need? Yes, he does. He may have to work two jobs. Some of us in this congregation have worked three jobs at a time. Whatever it takes, men, provide for your families. Now, in the very same breath, let me tell you that men who are working all the time and are not loving their children and loving their families, men who are working all the time may be a workaholic, and they may be providing things that are not what God would have them provide. There are many men who work all the time, and they're not there for their wives, they're not there for their children, they're not just providing the food, clothing, and shelter, but they're providing things that are for the destruction of the family instead of the good of the family. Let me ask you this. Does your Heavenly Father give you everything you want? Does your Heavenly Father do that? No. Any natural father that says, I want to give my children everything they want, that natural father does not have wisdom. There are things that are for the destruction of children rather than for their good. And a natural father needs to give and must give the food. He must provide food, clothing, and shelter for his family. That's what God requires of him. God does not require any father in this congregation to give your child a new automobile when they turn 16 years old. God's Word and God does not require you to give your children everything they want. In fact, you will destroy your children's lives if you give them everything they want. It is not for their good. The Word of God says that ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. Listen, brethren, there are good gifts and there are evil gifts. There are bad things you can give your children. You don't teach them a work ethic. If you don't teach them the value of a dollar, if you don't teach them to work, did you know there are some kids that are 16, 17, 18 years old, they don't have a job. I'm talking about during the summertime. I'm talking about when they ought to be working, they're not working. You know whose fault that is? It's not the teenager's fault because he hasn't learned to work. It's the parent's fault for not teaching them to work. I started working when I was 12 years old. I cut grass every day during the summer when I was 12 years old. All the way through, from then on, I worked. Now, wasn't that a terrible daddy that made me get out in that hot sun and push that lawn? And listen, brethren, we did not have riding lawnmowers. We didn't have weed eaters. We pushed lawnmowers. Some of the lawnmowers I used was one you pushed back and forth like that. Others were power mowers. Oh, I was glad to have a power mower. Did it hurt me? Was it bad that my daddy made me get out and work? Was it bad that when I wanted a horse, my daddy said, fine, you can have a horse. You get out and work, and you have to have enough money to buy the horse, and you have to have enough money to pay at least the first 2 months of the horse's food before you buy the horse. And I'll tell you, brethren, I wanted that horse so bad, I worked hard, and I bought that horse, and I was so happy. I had my horse, Blueberry. I was one of the happiest boys on the face of the earth. But I'll tell you, when I started watching that horse eat that food, and I thought about how much it was costing me, and how hard I was having to work to get out there and feed that horse, I was soon glad to get rid of Blueberry. Now, do you think that trained me for later times in my life? It taught me a lot of things. One thing it taught me is you don't go buy something till you have the money for it. You have some wisdom in your thinking. Give us. Are fathers to give their children some things? Yes. It's your responsibility, and if you don't give them the things God tells you to give them, you're worse than an infidel. But if you're giving them things that God would not have you to give them, you still, brethren, are not being a godly father. If you're providing everything they want, you're destroying your children's lives. Give us. A natural, godly father is going to be giving just like our Heavenly Father gives. Follow that. Second thing, forgiving. Do natural fathers need to forgive their sons? Do natural fathers need to forgive their sons? I think the worst thing I ever did that I remember with my daddy was I was about 17 or 18 years old. He told me I had to be in for my junior senior prom at 11 o'clock, and I got up from the supper table and I pushed my chair back and I said, we'll see about that. That's the only time I ever talked back to my daddy. And I won't go into all that happened, but I ran away from home that night, and I wrote my daddy a long letter, and I told him what a sorry daddy he had been. I told him that my friends, they let their daddies let them stay out all night for the junior-senior prom. I told him that my friends' daddies, they bought them cars. I just went through and I enumerated how good my friends' daddies were and how bad my daddy was. When I left home that night, I left that on the stove where he would be getting up to cook breakfast the next morning. Let me tell you, brethren, I'm thankful my daddy never mentioned that letter. When I came back home, I came back home like that prodigal son. I came back home wanting my daddy to forgive me. Prodigal son came back home and he said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called your son. I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Just let me be one of your hired servants." And that was the attitude I came back home with. Was, "Daddy, just let me be your son. Don't get rid of me." And my daddy forgave me. Listen, brethren, you have to forgive your children. Every daddy here, you need to learn to forgive. Just like you need to learn to give, you need to learn to forgive. Now, I'll tell you that prodigal son's daddy, and by the way, isn't that a picture of our Heavenly Father when you turn to Luke 15? It's a picture of our Heavenly Father. But what is it there? It's a natural father. It's a godly father. You know that godly father would not let his son live like the devil and live in his house. Did you know that? You know why that prodigal son had to get away from his father's house? Because he knew the standard in that father's house was, if you live under my roof, you will live by my laws. You'll live by my rules. And every father ought to have that. I don't care if your son is 15 or 30 or 50 years old. If you live in my house, you put your feet under my table, you'll live by my rules. You'll live by, more importantly, you'll live by God's rules. But you must forgive. And when that prodigal son came back home, you know what the father did? The Word of God says that when he was coming back home, the father ran and greeted him. Here's the expression there. The father had compassion on him. Had compassion on him. Has the father, has your Heavenly Father ever had compassion on you? And are you to then have compassion on your children? Do your children make mistakes? Do they do things that are wrong? Do you have to discipline them, but do you also have to forgive them? Yes, you do. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Father, forgive me. Father, lead me. You know what Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says? It doesn't say mothers. It says fathers. I'm just going to not ask you to turn there, but Ephesians 6, 4 says, "And ye fathers," listen carefully, the command, the admonition for you to train up your children is to fathers. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." Let me just pause right there. I made that mistake a number of times in my life. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Do not provoke your... There are a lot of ways you can provoke your children to wrath. You can say things that are hurtful, and that provokes them to wrath. You can do things. You cannot do things. If you provoke your children to wrath, God's going to judge you for that. "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." What's he telling them? You've got to lead them. You've got to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does Proverbs 22 say? It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Brother Tyler, when you get to be a daddy, I want you to be a good daddy. And all of you young men, when you get to be a man, when you get to be a daddy, I want you to be a good daddy. I want you to be the best godly daddy that's ever been. I believe that my son is a better daddy than I ever was. I believe my daddy was a better daddy. And I thank God. I tell you, brethren, my heart rejoices that my grandchildren have good daddies. I thank God for that. I thank God. Godly daddies. Godly daddies. You know what this world needs? Godly daddies. Daddies that will spend time with the children. Daddies that are more interested in the children than they are in money. I'll tell you, there's a lot of daddies I've got children I'm working with. I've got one 18-year-old boy that calls me almost every day. And he wants a daddy. He wants a daddy. He needs a daddy. Children need mamas, but children need daddies. The Word of God says that one of the things that God was going to do when Jesus came was he was going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing when daddies love their children and bring them up and lead them, walk with them. This idea, don't do as I do, do as I say. That's hogwash. Your children are going to do what you do. They're going to follow right in your footsteps. You drink, they're going to drink. You smoke, they're going to smoke. You cuss, they're going to cuss. You lie, they're going to lie. Whatever you do, they're probably going to follow in your step most of the time. How are you leading your children? That's the question I've got for you this morning. How does your Heavenly Father lead you? Lead us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. I'll close right here with deliver us. Let me tell you, my Heavenly Father delivers me from evil in two ways. And I hadn't thought about this till last night. He delivers me from evil in that my Heavenly Father, when trouble, when evil, when harm is coming, did you know many times my Heavenly Father just reaches down and delivers me from that evil? Has God ever done that for you? Have you ever been going down the road and almost had a wreck? And what happened? God did what? He delivered you from evil. But there's another way God delivers you from evil, and that is when you live wrong and you do wrong, God will deliver you from that evil. You know what He'll do? He'll bring His chastening hand on you, and He'll bring you to your knees, and He'll cause you to finally, one day, He will cause you to come to your knees and cry out, Father, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Now, a natural father, listen carefully, a natural father that does not deliver his children from evil is not being a godly father. You need to protect your children from evil, but what's the second way you need to deliver your children from evil? When your children are walking ungodly, you go home and read Proverbs chapter 13. If you want this list of scriptures, I'll give them to you. Every one of you ought to write these scriptures down in your Bible. Every one of you ought to memorize these scriptures. Because it talks about how fathers are to deliver their children from evil by disciplining them. Brother Richard, you're delivering Walker from a lot of evil. You know how? You know how you're delivering him? One way is protecting him, but what's the second way?
Discipline.
Proverbs 13, verse 24, talks about if a man loves his son, he will chasten him. Proverbs 19, 18 tells you that when you are starting to spank your child and they start crying, don't let your soul spare for the crying. You go ahead and carry out the discipline. Why? What are you delivering them from? You're delivering them from evil. Proverbs 22, verse 15, again, is talking about how you are to discipline your children. And Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14, again, tells you how to deliver your children. Proverbs 23, 13 and 14 tells you, I want to read that in closing. Proverbs 23, and we'll close right there. Proverbs 23, verse 13 says, withhold not correction. How many parents have ever said, how many of you have ever said, I'm going to spank you when I get you home? I'm going to spank you. I hear parents in stores sometimes, I'm going to whip you. I'm going to spank you. You better do what I say. Listen, if they're saying it three and four times, they're not doing what they say. If you really are spanking your children, you don't have to holler at them. You don't have to scream at them. You don't have to tell them three or four times. Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Are there modern-day psychiatrists and psychologists that tell you don't spank your children? Sister Heather and Brother Kurt, we've been going through marital counseling. What's one of the things we talked about? Spanking your children, wasn't it? We talked about a bunch. But one of them was spanking your children. I will not marry a couple, listen carefully, I will never marry a couple that the husband and the wife don't agree in corporal punishment of their children. If you don't believe in spanking, you're headed for trouble. And I'm not going to be a part of that marriage ceremony. You have to believe in following God's Word. I don't care if the rest of the world denies it. Let God be true and every man a liar. After he says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with rod, he shall not die. Verse 14 says, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver, deliver his soul from hell. You remember the Lord's Prayer over there? Lead us not into temptation and, what's the next word? Deliver us from evil. There's nothing more evil than hell. Can you deliver your soul, your child's soul from hell? Can you deliver your child's soul from evil? You have to carry out the discipline. May God help us to understand what a wonderful, perfect Heavenly Father we have. And may God bless every father and every grandfather to try to be the kind of father that we ought to be, following God's example, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.